Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The founder of Zipcar says the idea for the company started because she wanted an occasional vehicle to use in Cambridge. But the company that Robin Chase built opened her eyes to a mission of resource sharing and conservation, and that still drives her business choices today. In the process, she also changed the way Americans view car ownership. Today, in the next installment of our series, Visionaries, we take a ride through the mind of Robin Chase. WBUR's Monica Brady-Myroff reports.
Robin Chase first thought about resource sharing when she was a young girl living in Africa and the Middle East while her father served as a U.S. diplomat.
And I remember living in Saudi Arabia where water is particularly scarce. And my mother was unique among the Americans who lived there that she would guard her bathtub water and then go water her plants with it every day.
That inspired her to think about the environment. After graduating from Wellesley College, she worked in public health. She married, had three kids, and held several health-related jobs. She decided to go to MIT's Sloan School for an MBA because she believed that public health companies would be more effective if they were run by someone with business experience instead of doctors. However, in 1999, a conversation with the mother of her daughter's best friend led her in a different direction.
And does that mean mine's stronger and hers is less powerful?
They met at Andala Cafe in Central Square. The mother suggested the idea of car sharing, which she'd seen on vacation.
So this is where my co-founder and I sat, and she told me what she had seen in Europe. I had the light bulb going on my head. We shook our hands 50-50, and this is the spot.
Zipcar was born. The business allows you to reserve a car online for short periods of time, with gas and insurance included. Despite the handshake, it was Chase who raised the capital and spent 16-hour days building the business. She naively thought a startup would give her flexibility to be a CEO and a mom.
I will say I think one of my worst parenting days ever happened in that summer of Zipcar's launch.
Her children were 6, 9, and 12, and the incident involves her son's stolen bike and a lot of tears. She didn't react well, so she asked her husband to quit his job and take on the parenting duties. Chase projects intensity and competency. At 54, she doesn't dye her short-cropped salt-and-pepper hair. She often wears red cowboy boots made from ostrich skin, which she notes she bought used. She was able to get funding for the company at a time when less than 10% of venture-backed companies were run by women. She was a pioneer who had no experience in the auto business, nor was there anything like car sharing when she built Zipcar.
I think I was member number 7, and I signed up in Robin's kitchen.
Paul Davis heads a data warehouse company and was an early Zipcar member and financial backer.
Robin's version of big vision involves a million small visions. She doesn't just see that big goal at the end, she sees every implementation step.
Today, Zipcar has 11,000 cars in North America and England and 760,000 members. It's very similar to the concept in the original business plan, which is unusual for a startup. Chase no longer works with Zipcar. She quit in 2003, totally burnt out, she says. Soon after, she was awarded a Loeb Fellowship at Harvard's Graduate School of Design.
It absolutely gelled things for me.
What gelled for Chase was the idea of collaborative consumption, a term she coined. It means using things to their highest potential.
I realized, wow, Zipcar was in fact collaborative consumption. But more fascinating to me was this idea of Zipcar as collaborative infrastructure that was collaboratively financed.
And the best way to collaborate, says Chase, is to share your excess capacity. That is anything you have and aren't using. But at the time she started Zipcar, sharing was a dirty word. She learned this by testing different names for the company, including one that had the word sharing in it.
For 40% of the people, the word sharing was bad. It was going to be dirty, hippie-ish, co-op, I'm going to have to wait my turn, definitely don't want to deal with it. So sharing had this really negative connotation.
Since that time, Facebook has made sharing cool, and the internet has made sharing your extra things, time, computer storage much easier. With this vision of how to better use excess capacity, Chase has what she calls her sneaky goal, to address global warming.
when we talk about sharing physical assets, well, that clearly has real implications for sustainability and environmental outcomes.
As an example, Zipcar says it reduces CO2 emissions because for every shared car, 15 privately owned ones are taken off the road, and its members drive less.
Well, I got your favorite salad fixings, so you can make the salad.
In every new idea and company, Chase is joined by her husband, Roy Russell, who's also in charge of dinner on this night.
Actually, we both cook.
In the early days of Zipcar, Russell quit his job as an electrical engineer to take care of the kids. Then he joined Zipcar as chief technical officer, a title he holds at all of Robin's companies.
I'll tell her, you know, this is what we can do technically, and she won't be happy with that. You know, it's no, you don't realize this is where we have to go. And it's clear to me that she's been thinking 3-4 steps ahead of where I'm seeing things.
Chase and Russell are back in Cambridge after spending 2 years in Paris, France. They didn't go there to enjoy the good life with the proceeds from Zipcar. In fact, Chase says she profited very little, even though the public company is now valued at more than $330 million. Chase's share shrank after several rounds of financing. She jokingly calls herself a 100,000-aire. She moved to France to start her next company, Buzzcar, a business where people rent out their cars to other people when they're not using them.
You can have cars that are available for sharing in any density, anywhere. And that is the incredible beauty of it. So you can have a shared car in Billerica, and you can have one out at Walden Pond.
But there are no Buzz cars at Walden Pond. That's because after a year and a half of trying to navigate insurance rules, Chase determined that peer-to-peer car sharing in Massachusetts would be illegal.
I am looking at which will be the next countries for Buzz car to expand to. Every country that I consider, I have to figure out the insurance piece first, and I have not done that to my satisfaction in the U.S. yet.
Meanwhile, always on to the next great idea, she's starting another company with partners in Portugal.
Imagine if we had a device in our car, a wireless device, that receives signals and can also send them. So it's like a little mini cell tower. And it sends those signals on to other cars. So each person buying the device for their car can now create a local wireless infrastructure.
As Chase figures out her next ventures, she says she won't spend her time on a company that won't have some positive social outcome, especially when it comes to climate change. She calls global warming the most important issue facing humanity.
We are now in a crisis situation, and for me, my only optimism and the thing that's going to solve this is we're going to figure out some really great platforms for participation, and individuals will be able to provide those solutions at an amazing speed and scale that no government and no company could ever produce that speed and scale.
All of Robin Chase's companies involve collaboration, and it's this collaboration model that Chase believes is needed to solve the world's most pressing problems. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov.